We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. So don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more that you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/manifest. Just go to Indeed.com/manifest right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/manifest. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. For the new year, I really want to make sure that sauning is a big part of my wellness routine, and that is where I'm thrilled to bring in Boncharge. Boncharge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. Founded on science and inspired by nature, all Boncharge products adapt ancestral ways of living in our modern-day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products help you sleep better, perform better, and have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list really is endless. If you're interested, go to boncharge.com/manifest and use coupon code MANIFEST to save 15%. That's boncharge.com/manifest and use coupon code MANIFEST to save 15% off on your purchase. That's boncharge.com/manifest. Welcome back to another episode of Manifest with Tori DeSimone. I'm your host, Tori DeSimone, and we're filming this episode outside today on the deck here at the beach. So if you guys are watching this on my YouTube channel, which the YouTube video is linked down below, if you guys are listening on audio, that is down on the beach here in Seattle. And it has been so hot recently, but there's been a couple storms that have blown through, so the weather has finally calmed down, and I feel like I'm able to like sit outside for an extended period of time. If I was doing this during the day yesterday or even the day before, it just simply would not have been okay. But today, it's amazing. I'm also partly filming this outside because in the storms that I was talking about, my parents' dog, Ringo, was sleeping with me, and he is terrified of weather, people, bikes, rocks, just terrified of the world. And during the thunderstorm, he was quite literally underneath the covers with me last night and the night before. So my bed is currently covered in Ringo fur. So my sheets are currently being changed out, but no complaints here because I get to film outside. It's such a gorgeous day out. There's like not a cloud in the sky. If you guys can see on video, you can't really tell because the background's like kind of whitewashed out, but that's the bay behind me. I'm looking forward, and that's the beach in front of me. So it is a great day to have a great day, and I hope you guys are having an amazing Monday so far. Today we're going to discuss some habits that I want to build and some habits that I want to break. And I'm not putting a time frame on these, or with tomorrow being the first day of August, I'm not trying to have this be like an August challenge. Like by September 1st, I can look back on this and be like, oh yeah, I did all these things. No, this is really just something that I just want to be mindful of over the next few days, weeks, months, seasons, and hopefully in a year, I can look back and listen to this episode and check off a bunch of habits as they're being built and cross off each habit as they are eliminated. But before we begin, I just want to thank everyone for the really amazing feedback on last week's episode. It was really awesome to see so many of you guys loving the format of last week's episode. If you haven't listened, I'll link it down below. It is one of my favorite episodes, but we did some breath work, we did a guided journaling session, and just like some key takeaways from things that I've been learning in life through some passages that I've been reading and all that of the sort. I definitely want to do more of those, and I have some really exciting things in the works come the fall when I'm like settled back in at home in my routine. I have like a beach routine when I'm down here at the beach in the summertime, but it's just like not real life down here, so it'll feel more normal when I'm settled back at home And with it being August tomorrow, that's only like 6 weeks away, which is just so crazy. Less than that, 5 weeks away. Oh my God, I can't even think about that. It's just really wild. The winner of last week's review challenge is Emily Copel. Thank you, Emily, for your review and posting on the story. She was randomly chosen through all the entries that I got. And I'm so grateful for the review. So you will win a physical undated manifest planner, which is currently off my website and unavailable. So they are very exclusive at the moment. So we will be reaching out via Instagram DM to DM you for your manifest planner. I will be doing another giveaway this week. So if you want to win a physical undated manifest planner, which like I said, is currently unavailable for purchase, all you have to do is leave a 5-star review and then also write a positive review and post on your story that you're listening to the episode and your review. And you can tag me at Tori Sterling _ and the podcast Instagram at Manifest with Tori Simone. And that will enter you to win a physical undated manifest planner. I've been reading 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think by Brianna Wiest. I hope I'm saying her last name right. And there are a few really standout lines that have stuck with me that I want to share before we dive into today's episode. Today's episode is really not centered around like this passage, like how it was last week that when I read the passage from last week, and then we kind of built upon that and elaborated that about like inner peace and, you know, counting your blessings and all that sort of stuff. These are just passages that I've been reading. I went on the beach yesterday and I was reading this a ton. And throughout this week, I've just had some additional time to just read a little bit more. And as I've been working through this, there have been so many things that have just stuck out to me. And this passage was one of them. And I want to read it to you guys. And then we can shortly elaborate on it and then kind of get into the habits that I want to build and break. So this is, again, from 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. I'll have this link down below. And this passage is on page 13. So it says, your brain can only perceive what it's known. So when you choose what you want for the future, you're actually just recreating a solution or an ideal of the past. When things don't work out the way you want them to, you think you've failed only because you didn't recreate something that you perceived as desirable. When in reality, you likely created something better, but foreign, and your brain misinterpreted it as bad because of that. So the moral of the story, living in the moment isn't a lofty ideal reserved for the Zen or the enlightened. It's actually the only way to live a life that isn't infiltrated with illusions. It's the only thing your brain can actually comprehend. And this, for whatever reason, really stuck with me because I do this all the time and I never thought about it this way, which I guess is the title of the book, 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. It should be changing the way I think. But when I think of the future, I definitely build it off what I think I want. But I only think I know what I want or don't want based on experiences that I've had or that I've missed out on in the past. Therefore, I'm just constantly living in the past. And then, of course, when my past-made future doesn't come true, I find myself disappointed or discouraged of pursuing what I thought I wanted. So I guess like there's no moral message when it comes to me reading this passage other than I thought it was interesting and I wanted to share it. And it just reemphasizes the point to live in the current moment and just see where life takes you. And this book kind of then continues upon that message of how to live in the current moment with being driven by routines, emotional intelligence, and detaching yourself from your thoughts, like so on and so forth. It's a very interesting book that interlaces what I learn in yoga and with the real world. And it's not too like woo-woo. I find it very approachable and it just refocuses on how you choose to live your life. And I definitely would recommend it and will continue reading off passages from the book when I find them interesting or applicable to just about anything. This is also top of mind because I think so many of us in our 20s and honestly not even 20s, like I was on a walk with my mom today and we were talking about what we want to do with our lives. And I was talking with my grandma the other day when she was visiting town and she's 84 years old. And she was saying that she doesn't know what she wants to do with her life. I'm 26. My mom is 55. My grandma's 84. And we're all saying the same thing. Like, what do we want to do with our life? And I feel like we think we should always have it figured out when in reality, I don't think anyone has it figured out always, nor should you. Like, I can't imagine a life where I'm so content on what I'm doing, where I'm never going to stop questioning, like, is there more that I could be doing? Is there something else that's going to continue to spark my interest? What else can I get myself involved in? Not necessarily to the point of, like, I never feel content with my life, because I definitely am happy with my life and I feel content with where I'm at. But I don't know if I'll ever reach a point where I'm like, okay, you know what? Everything is good. Like, I don't need to keep searching for anything else. And I don't think I want to get to that point. I think I always want to stay interested in things. But what I'm getting at is that no one in life has it figured out at all times. And I think this passage really stuck with me, and it was top of mind because we think we want something in the future based on experiences we've had or have not had in the past. So we're constantly just living in the past rather than taking life at face value for what it is in the current moment. And that just really kind of stuck with me. And I just wanted to read it to you guys today. And I hope it sticks with all of you. I think that's all that I wanted to say. So let's dive into the habits that I want to build versus the habits that I want to break. All right, let's start with build. Number one, the first habit that I want to build is a morning walk every single morning within 10 minutes of waking up. In the 101 Essays book that I keep bringing up, she talks about letting your conscious brain make decisions for you. And my conscious brain always wants to go for a walk in the morning. But then when my alarm goes off and I'm really tired above anything else, the first thing I want to do is just stay in bed, and immediately I'm like, oh, I don't feel like getting up and going for a walk. But it's the morning walk that makes me feel so good, and my conscious brain has decided the night before, the day before when I had energy or whatever, that I wanted to go for a walk the next day. So I really need to start listening to my conscious brain instead of like that little voice in the back of my head that's like, yeah, but you're tired and the bed feels so nice and warm and like you don't have to get up yet. Like, you don't have to wake up earlier just to go for a walk. But my conscious brain wants to go for a walk. I have actually been going for a walk since I've been at the beach, and whether it's a 10-minute walk or a 60-minute walk, I feel really amazing. I actually find that anything less than 60 minutes, I feel even better. Like a 40-minute walk is really like a really great sweet spot for me, which is like a very slow 2-2.5 mile walk for me. And I feel really amazing. I get to listen to a podcast, I get to walk, I get the morning sunlight in my eyes, and it's also just some me time as the sun is rising. It's very quiet here on the island. I really like it. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. So don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things that I love about Indeed is that I've been able to use it for all of my businesses across the last few years, and it's been really amazing. What I love the most is that I'm able to put down like exactly what it is that I want on Indeed, and the candidates that match that get sent right to me. And then the hard part actually becomes narrowing down which ones are the best for me, because they all are exactly what I'm looking for. And then it really just comes down to like, which do I vibe with the best? And that's honestly pretty hard to choose from. But Indeed makes it really easy for me to find really good quality candidates that find exactly what I'm looking for instantly. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more that you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/manifest. Just go to Indeed.com/manifest right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/manifest. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. For the new year, I really want to make sure that sauning is a big part of my wellness routine, and that is where I'm thrilled to bring in Boncharge. Boncharge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. Founded on science and inspired by nature, all Bondcharge products adapt ancestral ways of living in our modern day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products help you sleep better, perform better, and have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list really is endless. So from blue light glasses, sterilite therapy, to EMF management and circadian friendly lighting, Bondcharge products help you naturally address the issues of our modern day way of life effortlessly with maximum impact. One of my favorite products from Bondcharge is their infrared sauna blanket. I loved sauning and I have for a really long time, but the problem is I always have to go to the gym and a lot of times I want a sauna at night when I'm cozy at home. I just don't want to leave. That's why using the infrared sauna blanket at home has been so amazing. This is a really great way to ease stress and unwind at the end of the day. It's also really good to detoxify and it promotes lower inflammation in the body, which is really, really huge. What's also really cool is that because this is a blanket, your head is out of it. So it's honestly, I find it's easier to stay in this longer. And because my head is out of it, I'm able to like read a little bit longer and my body still gets all the good benefits that I get while being in the sauna blanket. It's really easy to set up and it's also really easy to clean. It takes less than a minute to set up. It heats up really quickly and I can enjoy like a 30, 40 minute session in the sauna blanket while I'm relaxing, reading, watching TV, meditating. While if I'm in the sauna, I can really only stay in it for like 15 minutes because it gets so hot and uncomfortable, but because my head's out, I'm able to stay in it longer, but I still get all the benefits of it. I just feel so much more relaxed after my sessions. I just feel really, really good. And I just love ending my night with a sauna. Bondcharge ships worldwide in rapid time. They have free shipping on every sauna blanket. They also have easy returns and exchanges, and they have a 12-month warranty. If you're interested, go to bondcharge.com/manifest and use coupon code manifest to save 15%. That's bondcharge.com/manifest and use coupon code manifest to save 15% off on your purchase. That's bondcharge.com/manifest. I was watching a video of someone that was doing Andrew Huberman's morning routine and it just sounded so like divine and I think I need to take a whack at it. His morning routine was wake up and then immediately walk outside, have an electrolyte water with just some salt, but I've been like very into Element lately. I'll link the one that I love down below. And then he did a 90-minute bout of deep work and then he would work out and then do a cold shower. And it sounded really awesome. And maybe this morning walk is step one to incorporating a larger morning routine that I can see myself getting into come end of summer and beginning of fall. Because my morning routine in the summertime is normally just very studio focused. But in the next coming weeks, the studio is going to actually start kind of already winding down, which is so crazy. But anyway, besides the point. A habit that I want to build is taking a morning walk every single morning. The second habit that I want to build is reading. And this goes without saying, but I definitely want to read more. I started this year with a goal to read 25 books, and honestly, I'm on book like 9, maybe. My mom reads a ton, and she will start and finish a book in the same day. Not saying that like I need to do that, but I would definitely just love to read more. And I still have time. It's only July, I guess it's August, to hit my goal. There's no reason that I couldn't do it, but I could read more if I stopped doing like really pointless stuff, which kind of brings me to habits number one and number two that I want to break, which is phone time and reality TV. Being on my phone is so draining. I made an entire episode about this and I will link that episode down below. But seriously, I spend so much time on my phone. I just feel like I'm literally wasting my life. Like I look for the cure of boredom on my phone. I pass the time by finding something to do on my phone. I spend my life being reactive to my phone. And I have the mentality that comes from anxiety of like, well, what if someone needs me? Or what if an emergency happens? Or what if this happens? And I can't live my life in the what if. It's like predicting the future based on the past, which we kind of already chatted about. And it's also like, if those are the thoughts that I'm bringing to the surface of anxiety ridden bad accidents happening, and if I constantly put that out into the universe, then that's all that I'm attracting. And like, why would I want to attract that? That's nothing that I want to attract. I was listening to a podcast where the host was explaining a story of someone who was at dinner and then their phone began to ring, and who they were at dinner with was asking if they would answer their phone, and their response was, "No, the phone is for my convenience, not theirs." And while it sounded harsh in the moment, I actually really loved it. The majority of the time when someone is texting or calling me, it's because it works with their timeline and their agenda on their stream of consciousness that they have decided to then act upon. And why do I need to then act upon their timeline and their stream of consciousness? It's like when I finish teaching a spin class, I am so chatty. And on my drive home, I will literally call like everyone in my favorites and everyone on my contact list. And then those that don't answer will call me back like 2 hours later, and I never answer the callbacks because I just don't feel like talking anymore. And I waste so much time on my phone that if I wasn't addicted to like such a stupid device that we were conditioned to now have by our sides at all times of every hour of every minute of every day, then I truly think I would be so much happier and much more grounded to what's going on around me. And like, I'm recording this podcast and like literally here's my phone right here. And it's like, why do I need it right next to me? Like, if someone calls me, I'm not answering it because I'm recording a podcast. I'm not checking it. Like, it does not need to be by me, but there it is at all times. It's just always there. Another thing about the phone is that it takes me away from the space that I have created. Like, as I'm typing the outline for this podcast, the voice in the back of my mind says, "Oh, like you should check your phone to see if so-and-so texted you." And sure, like, let's go through the scenario if I were to check my text. It feels good to check the text, but if so-and-so did text me about something, then it would totally disrupt the space that I've created here, like typing this outline or physically podcasting. Then my focus and attention would be drawn to a different layer of work instead of this one right in front of me. And then it would take me so much time to get back into a flow state that I've created while typing out this podcast or while I'm actually recording it. Or if I got a text from a friend, that I'd reply to that and again be stripped from the space that I've created right here. So it just provokes an environment of task switching and chaos rather than deep work and focus when I really want a environment of deep work and focus. Speaking of chaos, I started the show The Bear yesterday during that thunderstorm that I was talking to you guys about. And today on my walk with my mom, I was like, "Oh yeah, I started The Bear last night." And she was like, "What'd you think?" And I was like, "Do they ever stop yelling?" And she's like, "No, the entire show is chaos." So I just had to throw that out there. The entire show is chaos, and I'm on season 1, episode 3 of The Bear. So far, I like it, but it's definitely not a show to wind down to, I'll put it that much. Kind of is a good segue into the second habit that I want to break, which is reality TV. I feel like I spend like 6 hours a week watching my reality TV shows, and I really feel like I could be spending those 6 hours doing something else. I don't know what it would be, like maybe reading, maybe talking, maybe sitting in silence. I don't really know, but I think I would just feel a lot better. And that would feel really nice. Like, again, I just waste so much time watching reality TV when it's like, do I really care if Heather Dubrow is insulted by Taylor talking shit on her IMDb? Like, no, I really don't think that. So this kind of goes off of my third habit that I want to build, which is activities. The other day I was on the beach and there was a guy in probably his mid-50s, if I had to guess, and he was just windsurfing on the ocean, and it was just so awesome to watch. He did it for like maybe 2 or so hours and it just looked so much fun. And I was also talking to one of my friends and clients at the studio last week, and she told me how she saw my dad out fishing while she was out paddleboarding. And she is such an accomplished woman in her career. And here she is in the middle of a workday, just out paddleboarding, enjoying the summertime. And she saw my dad while she was out paddleboarding. And my dad is also an accomplished businessman fishing in the middle of the workday. So like, why can't I be doing other like hobbies and activities while still being very accomplished? Like, you can do it both. And it just makes me think, like, why aren't I exploring hobbies? Like, why aren't I paddleboarding? Or like, why aren't I fishing? Why aren't I learning to windsurf? Why aren't I kayaking in the ocean? Like, do I just live at the beach for like, you know, the hand heart emoji, the ocean emoji, and like the white heart emoji? Or do I live at the beach for like the fun of it, the adventure of it? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to really fill my day with more activities and less phone time, because the phone just adds literally nothing to my life. Okay, the next habit that I want to break is boredom eating, or the narrative of should in my life. And these two go hand in hand. Just stick with me. when I'm bored, I tend to eat. And then afterwards, I'm just like left being like still very bored and just full when I wasn't even like hungry in the first place. And it's just something that I do to pass the time. And I recognize this. And in the past, I used to have like a real problem with binge eating. So when I do this, I tend to slip into a mindset that I don't love and I really begin beating myself up. And I kind of then go into this place of, oh, I should eat more protein, or I should lift weights, or I should eliminate sugar from my morning coffee. And I just live in this world of should, when in reality, life can't be lived in the should. So boredom eating, I recognize, doesn't serve me because I'm still bored after I am done like eating. And I wasn't even hungry to begin with. So now I'm just like really full and still just as bored. And then I begin to go down a path that I don't like my mind. So it's like a hand-in-hand situation for me that I just want to avoid altogether. And I have a few episodes on how I healed my relationship with food that I will link down below. And I'm definitely proud of the place that I'm in, and I can recognize like triggers that have that can bring me back to a mindset that I don't love and that I don't want to revisit. So that's why something that I just want to break is boredom eating. The next habit that I want to break is procrastinating less than 1 minute chores. Some examples of this are loading the dishwasher, which takes like literally 30 seconds, or flipping the laundry, which takes a minute, applying sunscreen for the beach, which takes literally a minute, but you'd be surprised at how much I just like lay down and dread putting sunscreen on and then going to the beach. Like, you would think it takes like 30 minutes away to put it off, but it literally takes like 2 minutes tops. All of these things I push off by looking on my phone or chalking it up to like, I just don't feel like doing this right now. When it's like, okay, I probably also won't feel like doing this in 10 minutes after scrolling on YouTube Shorts. Don't ask. It's just like a thing that I'm doing. So like, let me just do it now. You know what I mean? Also, along with the small tasks that make a big difference, the fourth habit that I want to build is writing thank you notes and cards to others.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The client and friend that I mentioned that paddleboarded recently wrote me a congratulations card for winning the best spin class on the main line, and it was just so thoughtful, and I really want to work on being more thoughtful. My grandma used to really insist and instill in us, and honestly, she still does instill in us being her grandkids, that thank you cards are very important and how much they mean not only to her but to so many other people. And the older I get now, I understand this. Like, when I was younger and my mom would be like, write a thank you card, write a thank you note, I was just like, why? Like, I don't get it. But now, like, that I'm older, like, I get it. It's really thoughtful. So I want to write more thank you notes. I want to write congratulations cards. I want to mail birthday cards. I want to send celebratory cards. And I just overall want to be more thoughtful. For my 25th birthday, one of my best friends sent me a bouquet of flowers. And it was just so thoughtful of her to do that. And I wish I thought to do that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? So it just really goes a long way, so much longer than a text, like just a card and either mailing it to them or handing it to someone. It's so thoughtful. And the convenience of a text never compares to the thoughtfulness of a handwritten and mailed card. So that's just a habit that I definitely want to build. The next habit that I want to build is sourcing better food, meaning supporting local farmers, farmers markets, getting grass-fed meat, things like that. I recently watched a video about how McDonald's makes their French fries from their potatoes, and I just simply never thought about where McDonald's sources their potatoes. The whole video just made me question, like, what else do I just not even give an ounce of a thought to? And then the second question was, well, why don't I even think about anything else in regards to, like, my food or really anything? Like, something as small as a McDonald's French fry, which I haven't had a McDonald's French fry in like maybe 10 years, but like, why don't I even think about that sort of stuff? And then when I did learn about it, it was so shocking. And I was like, huh, never thought about that. It's not that I want to like diet or go crazy on what I eat, but I want to control what I can with sourcing the best food possible whenever it's possible for me to do. I have a great episode with my friend Ashley, and I will link that down below, where she really talks about how she learned to source food, support local farmers, get into farming, all that sort of stuff. It's a really amazing skill, and it was a very interesting conversation. I'll link it down below. And it's something that I just want to get better on and I want to build upon. The next habit that I want to build is better money saving habits. I have an episode that I will link down below. I'm linking a lot down below today, but I have an episode about how I manage my finances, and I still use this method to this day, but I've recently been searching for my next investment. And anytime that I put a large sum of money down on something, I always panic a little bit because there's like a safety net of money that just gets smaller and smaller and smaller every time you invest. But that's really just because I can no longer see that number in my bank account. It's now like tied up somewhere else. So it's like really no longer liquid. And while that's amazing, it is really comforting to see money set aside that's like in front of you. That's like, okay, I know that's there if I ever need it, but I'm like not going to touch it. But it doesn't grow when it's just sitting. And I feel like that's an analogy for a whole other episode. But anyway, I just begin to question, well, what is this money that is just sitting here? What would I be spending it on if it wasn't being used to grow? Would I be buying makeup? Would I be buying clothes? Would I be buying food? Would I be paying for gas? Like, what I'm getting at here is that there are better ways that I could be spending my money, and I want to be better with that. And I'm not saying like, oh, I want to have this like large, not even large, just like a lump sum of money that I can go spend on like food. What I'm saying is, if the money is just sitting there, I may as well be investing it, because otherwise it's going to go to something pointless, like going to get like, I don't know, a cheesesteak at PJ Willihan's. And like, there's other things I could be doing with that money. Okay, habit 7, the next one that I want to build is I want to implement routines in my day to eliminate decision fatigue. Things like what time I start working, how long my morning walks are, what time I take my breaks, what time in the day I begin writing a book that I've been saying that I want to write for years and years and years, what workouts I do on what days, things like that. This is so that I can eliminate the decision fatigue and become more focused on doing things really well rather than task switching and doing a lot of things just like mediocrely or just okay. We make decisions all day long. So if I can simplify my life through routines and systems, then the important decisions such as my next investment or the future of my businesses or the growth of my current project, the production level of my podcast, things like that, the big decisions that actually make a difference can get my full attention rather than living a life of maybe tomorrow I'll start working at 9:30 a.m. or maybe I'll be in the mood for pancakes, so I'll have that for breakfast, or maybe tonight I'll practice yoga at 7. Like, I'd rather have my life be, it's Monday morning, I practice yoga at 9:30, I have a meeting at 11, I have a call at 12, I work from 12:30 to 2, I have a salmon bowl for lunch, I write at 3 for 1 hour on Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays. And, you know, things like that. It just makes so much more of an efficient life with direction and less effort to get maximum results. And then I won't have decision fatigue because everything's already mapped out for me. And all my attention can just be centered on making the big decisions rather than a bunch of little decisions. Along with this habit, one that I want to break is listening to my inner voice as rational reality, meaning all those little like impulsive comments that I get, just listening to them rather than attaching power to them and then acting upon them. For example, today when I was reading a book, the thought of you need to go write that email came to my mind, and there's guilt attached to that thought. So I got up, I wrote the email, and then in writing that email, I needed to ask my business partner something. But when I was writing this podcast script, it was a Saturday afternoon in the middle of July. And just because I'm working due to my compulsive thoughts that I've given power to doesn't mean that she is. So let's like not bother her with this right now. Another example that I do is an insecurity in my relationship. And I'm very aware that I do this, but if I get like an intrusive thought, I think of it as reality and I accuse my boyfriend of doing something wrong that's rooted in fear and anxiety, when in reality, he's just like chilling, watching a show. And I'll be like, babe, like, do you still love me? Like, you didn't tell me you loved me in the last 5 minutes. So something must be wrong. And he's like, I'm literally just trying to watch Suits on Netflix. So I get these like impulsive thoughts and I tie power to these thoughts. And then I create a false reality that I then speak into existence. I remember last year I was getting a pedicure and I was really struggling mentally with something going on within my business, and I made an entire game plan during the pedicure of how I was going to fix something. And I was like going on and on and on about it to my mom, who was next to me. And then a couple days later, she asked like what I was going to do about this crazy game plan that I created in this state of panic days prior. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not in that state of mind anymore. I'm not doing any of that stuff because none of it's applicable to my actual reality. My mind was just like going crazy and I just gave way too much power to those like crazy thoughts in that moment. And that's what I need to stop. That's the habit that I need to break. The mind is so strong, and I'd love to build the practice of not attaching power to impulse thoughts and rather break the habit of taking my inner thoughts as reality. And finally, there's no real good segue to this other than it being the last habit that I want to build. So let's just get into it. The last habit that I would like to build is talking to strangers. What I love about kids so much is that everyone is their friend. When I was in Disney last October, I was there with my niece and my nephew, and we were at this little like splash pad, and my three-year-old niece kept saying, can I go up to my friends now? And she didn't know anyone there, but she saw kids her age and she went up to them and she just like started playing with them. And all the kids were just like, cool, like now we have another friend to play with. And they all just started playing. Yesterday when I was on the beach, a girl was making a sandcastle, and then another little girl who was her age, but they had no idea who each other were, sat right down next to her and asked if she could build a sandcastle with her. And then the two of them just started like building the sandcastle together, and they just started like playing together. Two total strangers, but to little kids, everyone is their friend. And I just think to myself, one, how beautiful is that and how pure is that? But two, like, when did that stop? When did others become people to avoid, people to like completely just avoid making eye contact with when you're in the grocery store? Or like, remember when you're like walking down the hallways in high school and you see someone on the other side of you and you guys just both like either like do like a little smile, or you just completely avert eye contact. You pretend like the other person literally isn't in the same space as you. Like, that's honestly kind of crazy. When did that all stop? I kind of think it's a lost art being able to talk to strangers, and it's a skill that I would really love to develop. My dad will always sit at a bar whenever he like goes out, whether he's like eating alone or even with all of us. He just always wants to go sit at the bar, and it's because he wants to talk to people. He will talk to the bartenders. He'll talk to people around him. Like, he just wants to talk and get to know people. And because of this, he meets the coolest people and hears the most interesting stories, because everyone always has a story and everyone always has something to say. So I'd love to be able to build the habit of breaking down my walls and genuinely getting to know the other people around me in the world, like the other humans that we all coexist with and share a space with. I would love to just get to know other people more. Being able to genuinely talk to others is a skill, and it's one that I just want to get good at. And that pretty much sums it up. Those are just some habits that I want to build and I want to break in the upcoming seasons of my life. And again, like, there's no real timeline on any of these habits, but I'd love to be able to look back on this episode in a year and say, like, yep, I've done all those habits. I've built them all up. And yep, I've broken all those habits and they're all out of my life. So I'd be very curious to know what are some habits that you guys want to build and what are some habits that you guys want to break. And if we could kind of get like a little chat going on the YouTube channel, that would be so amazing so that other people can maybe get ideas or see what you guys want to build or break. So I'll have the YouTube video linked down below for this episode if you guys want to watch it. And again, if you guys want to win an undated physical manifest planner, just leave a 5-star review of this episode, write a written review of a positive review, and then put it up on your story and tag me at @ToriSterling_ and the manifest at @ToriSimone podcast Instagram account as well. And that will get you guys entered. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Manifest with Tori DeSimone. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys have an amazing Manifest Monday, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Happy Monday, guys. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.